Would you be shocked if you saw somebody raised from the dead right in front of you? You know, if you are, that's an indication of how hardened your heart has become to God. That's what we're talking about today, and I think this will really help you. So stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about a hardened heart. What causes our heart to be so hardened towards God? What is it to have a hardened heart? What does that mean? And I introduced this yesterday. I won't go back through all of this, but I do believe that this is a great follow-up to the teaching that I've been doing on the grace of God, His unconditional love and grace towards us. Because even though I stress this and I say this every single time I teach on the grace of God, that this isn't giving us a license to sin, but instead it doesn't free us to sin, it frees us from the guilt and the separation that sin brings. Even though I say that and I stress that we are still supposed to do the right thing, I think that this teaching on hardness of heart will really make it clear why we need to live a holy life. Living holy doesn't change God's heart towards you, but it will change your heart towards God. If you don't seek God and do the right things, then your heart becomes insensitive towards God. And so that's what we're talking about. And yesterday I gave an introduction to this, and I was reading from Mark chapter 6, and we started reading with verse 45, and we read all the way down through Mark 6:52. This is where Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then He went up into a mountain to pray. He constrained His disciples to get in the ship, told them to go to the other side. They ran into a storm. It looked like that they were going to drown in the storm. And in the midst of this crisis situation, the Lord just came walking to them on top of the water. What a great miracle. And as He was walking on top of the very thing that was about to kill them, they cried out. He came into the boat. He stilled the storm. And then the boat, Jesus, the disciples were all translated to the other shore. I mean, it was just totally miraculous. And as I was reading this, it says in Mark 6:51, it says in the latter part of that verse, it says they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And I was telling about me riding in an airplane, reading this thing, just being shocked, overwhelmed, I mean, overcome by the magnitude of God's power, how He's just so in control of all of these things. And I was feeling exactly like these disciples when it says they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And then in the 52nd verse, it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And instead of this being a good thing to be overwhelmed, sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, the scripture here was saying the reason that they were like that is because they had a hardened heart. And when I first saw this, it just shocked me, because I thought that people with a hardened heart were people who were just, you know, rapists and adulterers, murderers, liars, stealers, people who were on dope, or people who hated God. And it had never crossed my mind that I could have a hardened heart. And yet, I was identifying totally with what the disciples were doing here, where they were just shocked to see Jesus come walking on top of the water, still the storm, and then translate them and the boat to the other side of the lake. And I was shocked. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. That's exactly the way that I was. And the scripture here, in a sense, rebuked them, saying it was because they had a hardened heart. And this just shocked me, because it was saying that the reason I was amazed was because of a hardened heart. Now, some of you may be misunderstanding what I'm saying here. I'm not saying this to put anybody down, but I'm just saying that this condition of having a hardened heart isn't reserved for people who just hate God and are in rebellion towards God. I believe that every person watching this program or listening by radio, Now, you may take this as a negative statement, but it's just the truth, and it's intended to open our eyes so that we can be set free. If we don't know we have a problem, there's no way that we're going to solve that problem. I believe we need to wake up and recognize that every person watching this program or listening by radio has a hardened heart towards God in some area. Now, that may be offensive to you because maybe, again, you aren't thinking of a hardened heart in the terms that the Scripture is using here. This is a part of what I'm trying to get across and share with you, is to expand our understanding of what it means to have a hardened heart. What is the cause? What is the crisis? What causes a hardened heart, and how do you cure it? Those are the things that we're going to be talking about. But when the Lord spoke this to me, it just absolutely shocked me, and it set me on a path, on a quest, trying to figure out, so what is a hardened heart? What is it that's causing this? And so I began to pray about it. Let me just make a statement right here. Use this story. Again, if you listened to the program yesterday, this instance that I'm talking about happened right after Jesus had fed the 5,000 men with five loaves and two fish. And then it says that the disciples saw him walking on the water. He came into the ship, stilled the storm, translated to the other side of the lake, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And it is putting that down. In other words, you shouldn't be shocked to see the supernatural power of God. It was because they had a hardened heart that they were shocked. Now, here's a comparison that it should help you to understand this. Jesus, just that very day, had fed 5,000 men, not including all the women and children, with five little loaves of bread and two small fish. And he multiplied it and fed all of these people. And after they ate and they had seconds, as much as they wanted, they took up the fragments that were left over and they were able to fill 12 baskets with fragments. In other words, they had more food left after feeding 10 or 15,000 people than they did when they started. That is a supernatural miracle. Now, I believe that Jesus was blessed by this. I believe that Jesus, I'm sure that it blessed his heart to see the faithfulness of God, to see the power of God flowing through him, to see his absolute authority and power, to see the people's lives that were changed through this. I am not saying that it didn't move him, but here's what I am saying. I don't believe that when Jesus took that loaf and blessed it and then broke it and gave to his disciples and looked down and here's another whole loaf, instead of it diminishing because he gave some of it away, the loaf was still full. I don't believe that when that happened that Jesus went, "Wow, it worked." I don't believe he was shocked. I don't believe he was overwhelmed. I don't believe he was sore amazed in himself beyond measure and wondering and said, "Wow, guys, it really worked. It worked. It worked." I believe that he was supernaturally natural. I believe he was blessed by it, but I don't believe he was shocked by it. And so here's my point. As I was meditating upon these stories, I was shocked. I was overwhelmed. It was so abnormal from what I see and what I experience, this absolute total control over the elements, over everything that Jesus was expressing. Did you know what? It shocked me. And this scripture here in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, is saying the reason that the disciples and I was shocked was because of our hardness of heart. In other words, I believe that we should be blessed when we see the supernatural power of God. If you see a person raised from the dead, if you see a blind eye open, I believe it ought to bless you. There's certainly nothing wrong with rejoicing over that. You ought to rejoice over the good things that God has done, but it shouldn't surprise you. It shouldn't shock you. It should not be abnormal to a Christian. As a matter of fact, it says specifically in Mark 6:52 that the reason they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered was because they had not considered the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. In other words, if they would have been thinking about what Jesus had just done, he had fed at least 10, 15,000 people with five little loaves of bread and two small fish, had more food left over after filling all of them, eating as much as they wanted. He had more food left than they started with. Anybody who could do that could walk on water, could translate a boat to the other side of the lake. Anybody who could do that could do anything. Nothing is impossible unto him. If they would have really been thinking about it, if their heart would have been right, instead of being surprised to see Jesus walk on the water, they would have been expecting it. They would have been looking for it. Because Jesus is the one that was responsible for them being out there. It was against their better judgment. They didn't want to go out there. That's what it says in Mark 6:45. Jesus had to constrain them. The word constrain means to compel. In other words, there was some resistance on their part. They knew that a storm was brewing. They knew it wasn't smart to be out on the lake. And yet Jesus commanded them to do it. And so they did it out of sheer obedience to Jesus. So Jesus was responsible. They knew that Jesus wasn't in some hotel room asleep on a bed someplace. He was out in the open. He was in the same elements that they were in. Jesus was responsible for their plight. He was totally aware of their plight. And if they would have been thinking properly, instead of being shocked, surprised to see Jesus walk on the water, they would have been expecting it. And here's the point I'm trying to get across. Many of us, we think that we don't have a hardened heart towards God. But you know what? If you were to see somebody raised from the dead, and if you would have been sore amazed in yourself, beyond measure and wondered, if you would have been shocked, overwhelmed, it's an indication of how far from the right lifestyle of faith we are removed. It just shows us how hardened our heart really is towards God. You may not think that you have a hardened heart, but if you don't live in the supernatural to such a degree that seeing the supernatural doesn't surprise you, then you have a hardened heart. You are more sensitive, more adapted, more comfortable in the natural realm than you are the supernatural realm. That's having a hardened heart. I've got a lot more to share about this, and so join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive these materials.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK57 titled The Crisis when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, well, I can't move and come there. Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning, video correspondence course. We're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it. So please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.